How do you overcome the world? That's a question for every Christian to ask. I don't know if every Christian asks that question. Maybe your life's too comfortable and you never thought of it before. But it's certainly a question you should be asking. And in this chapter, we will consider that and other things. Let us read. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Whoever loves the Father also loves the child who is born of him. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is loving God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is God's testimony, which he has testified concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. He who doesn't believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. The testimony is this, that God gave to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. This is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will listen to us. And we know that if he listens to us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition we've asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life, for those who sin not leading to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I don't say that he should make a request concerning this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God doesn't sin, but he who is born of God keeps himself, and the evil one doesn't touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Well, that's it. That's the end of 1 John. Now, it starts out by saying this very obvious thing. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And, you know, we always say, oh, of course. But this is written at a time when Judaism was going through a split. And there were a heap of Jews that accepted Jesus as the Messiah, and a heap of Jews hadn't. And John writes so plainly and says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, or whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah, is born of God. So it's very plain. And then he says, whoever loves the Father also loves the child too. In other words, if you say you love God, you should love God's Son as well, Jesus. and it's very plain. And I'm actually not sure why, now that it's so plain to me, I'm not sure why people have placed this letter way in the Gnostic times, way into the future of when it was written. Because it was the Jews that rejected Jesus as the Messiah. But there were also a lot of Jews that accepted Jesus as the Messiah. In fact, that's what Christianity is. It's the continuation of the real faith in the real God who sent his real son. And by accepting him, we've been born of God. And John says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So if you're a Christian and you've been born of God, it says here, you will overcome the world. And it says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. Now, how do you overcome the world? Well, first of all, what is the world? Well, I think the world is at least two things. The world, first of all, is something from within, and second of all, something from without. Something from outside and something from inside, and this is the world. We're not talking about, you know, the earth. I could walk outside and pick up some grass and there's lovely trees and birds and we're all living in the world. Not that world. No, the world is like worldliness. It's the pressures of what's going on. And you need to overcome the world by overcoming the pressure from outside, so persecution. You know, these Christians were going through persecution. They were going through external pressures. As well as that, the world is, you know, advertising and temptation. And there are all these opportunities that are out there in the world. They are against you. Well, how do you overcome all that? Well, that's half of it. But the other part is overcoming the part of you within that wants to be worldly. So there's an internal overcoming needed against the external things that are out there too. But all of this is overcome by faith. John says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, your faith. Now, I don't think that means some kind of magical just believing. Oh, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I don't think it's necessarily confessing that, you know, I'm an overcomer, overcome. I'm an overcomer. I don't think it's like a magic formula like that. I think the victory that overcome is our faith. In other words, it's our walk with the Lord. It's the trust we place in him. It's our prayers in him saying, Jesus, help me. Lord, bring me through. And so you can imagine that these early Christians who are being persecuted by, there's pressures in the world. And they overcome by placing their faith in Jesus and their trust in him. You know, say, for example, you're in a place where you're potentially going to be killed for your faith. Your faith is to cling to Jesus and say, Lord, I need your help. You know, I'm worried about dying. And then to hand it into the Lord's hands. If you die, you'll be with him. If you live, you'll live for him. That's faith. And that faith will strengthen you, so that you'll be able to withstand the persecution one way or the other. If the persecution takes a hold of you and defeats you, you'll be with him, and your faith has brought you to him. If your faith causes you to be delivered from the persecution, then that's your trust in him. It's your prayers. And the same with temptation and evil. You come to him. You know you can't defeat it on your own. So you place your faith in Christ. You trust him. Lord, deliver me. And if for some reason you fall, you go back to him. You say, Lord, deliver me, forgive me. And so your faith has a purifying process that will bring you through. So this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's your faith. It's your trust in him. It's your walking with him. It's your persevering with him. It will deliver you. And John says, who is the one who overcomes this world? It's the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you're a believer in him, you will overcome if you walk with him. And then it says something quite interesting. It says, this is he who came by water and blood. Now, who's he? Jesus. Jesus came by water and blood. Now, think about that. When I was a younger Christian, I thought that meant was, when Jesus was born, he was born and, you know, he you know, when you're born, you kind of, there's blood when you're born, and there's also water when you're born, you know, your mother's water breaks, and you know, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus. And I thought it was just talking about the fact that God had become a person. That's what I thought. But then it can't be that, because it says something a bit different here. It says that Jesus Christ came not with water only, but with water and blood. Well, that's interesting, because everyone's born the same way, so it must not be talking about that. It, and then it says it is the Spirit who testifies, and there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three all agree. So now it's gotten confusing. So here's what I think it means, nice and simple. There are three things that testify about who Jesus is. Number one, the water, and that is his baptism. And I think what that means is that the Lord sent John the Baptist into the world, and he preached. He said, there's one coming who's the Messiah, one coming who's greater than me, and he was the baptizer. When Jesus came, John baptized him and said, this is the one. So the Lord put into the world a testimony of who Jesus was. That was the water. And there were a lot of people who saw that testimony, and it was written down, it's confirmed. Many, many people saw that. They can testify to it. So there's this one great witness that Jesus is the one, and it's all connected with his baptism. That's the water. The second great testimony is his blood. Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross, he gave his life, and he was resurrected. So in that death and resurrection is a great testimony of who Jesus is. That's the blood. And the third one is the Spirit. If you come to Jesus Christ and you believe in him, you receive the Spirit, and that Spirit testifies inside of you that he's the one. So God has put into the world three witnesses of who Jesus is. The witness of John the Baptist, which came through his baptism, the witness of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the blood, and the witness of the Holy Spirit that's in you. But you notice that two of them are connected with Jesus living and dying, and one of them isn't. And that's why John says, where does it say it here? He says, for Jesus came with water and blood. Because Jesus, they're the two testimonies that were when Jesus was alive, but there are three that testify, because the third one is the Holy Spirit came after Jesus. So I think that's what it means. It seems really, really clear. And then, what do they all testify? John says, it's this. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son, Jesus. And he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. And that was a clear point against all those Jewish people that had rejected Jesus. They don't have life. Now, if you're Jewish today in the world, or if you're any other type of, you know, if you're Jewish, you believe in God, but you don't believe in Jesus. John says you don't have life. You can't get saved by trying to follow God, but by rejecting Jesus. But it's the same for everyone. To find the Lord and to find God, you need to come to Jesus. He is, what the book of Hebrews says, the mediator. In other words, the one that will go between you and God and will make a way for you. Well, I think after going through this letter of John, first letter of John, there's one point he keeps making over and over and over again. You've got to have Jesus. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Son. Thank you for the life that comes in the Son. Thank you for the love we receive because of you. Lord, may all of this become more and more real to us. Amen.